Revelation chapter 11, verses 14 through 19. This is the word of God. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning, and sounds, and peals of thunder, and an earthquake, and a great hailstorm." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we may hear your word, that we may be able to understand and believe and obey. Oh Father, we pray that you will pour out your blessings upon us. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, we are not able to understand and believe your word. Thus, we pray that your Spirit will grant us an ear that could hear your voice through your word. Oh Father, increase our faith as we hear your word. And with that increasing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ no matter where we are, no matter what we do. Oh Father, bless all of us, that we may have the understanding and see Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished through your word, and let us rejoice, giving you all the glory. Receive all the glory. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, we are looking at the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet. Just like the seventh seal that we have looked at already, and just like the seventh bowl that we will look at, the last trumpet shows the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is when the perfect and final judgment of God happens, and at the same time, the perfect and the final salvation of God's people is also consummated. Do you remember from chapter 10? There Jesus, who stood on the sea and on the land, lifting up his right hand to heaven and swore by God who lives forever and ever, "There will be delay no longer." Chapter 10, verse 7, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets." That promise of Jesus is now completely fulfilled and consummated. This is the day in which all of God's plans of redemption and judgment are perfectly fulfilled. All happens with the final trumpet sound. And this final trumpet was told about in the Bible numerous times. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 through 31. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. So Matthew tells us that with that final trumpet, Jesus coming with the glory and power, and he will send his angels to gather his people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. With the trumpet sound, our God comes, and we will be resurrected, and we will meet our Lord in the air, and we will be with him forever and ever. What we are looking at in our passage is the reality of that day. Our passage shows the day of our Lord's return. Verse 17 in our passage. O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were. Did you see that? God who is Almighty, who are and who were. And it ends there. Usually we read, like in chapter 1, verse 4, him who is and who was and who is to come. But in our passage, who is to come, that phrase is missing. Because in the seventh trumpet, he has come. Thus, the phrase, who is to come, is no longer needed. Verse 15b, he will reign forever and ever. This is the visible beginning of the eternity. The reality of the end is seen in our passage. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is perfectly consummated. The messianic kingdom is visibly consummated. And the perfect glory of that kingdom is shining. That is what we're seeing in our passage. Let's read them. Verses 15 through 17. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Yes. The kingdom of God is consummated. We see here two kingdoms. The kingdom of the world and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Ever since sin came into this world, the world is divided into two kinds of people. The people of this world and the people of God. people who belong to the kingdom of this world and people who belong to the kingdom of God. The people of this world and the people of God. God's plan from the very beginning is to accomplish His kingdom. But the world has its own purpose. And that was to accomplish the kingdom of man. The city of God and the city of man are always in conflict. Now in our passage, we see clearly which has the final victory at the end. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of God, meaning that kingdom of the world is no longer. Only the kingdom of God remains. The kingdom of God is accomplished by God through special grace order. But the sinful man built the city of man to revolt against God's purpose. Go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. As you know, in chapter 3 of Genesis, we see a sin coming into this world. And ever since that happens, people are divided into two groups. Like I said, the people of God and people of this world. And through Cain, we see the activities of the people who belong to the kingdom of this world. And through Seth, we see the activities of people of God. So let's read from chapter 4, verse 16. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now, Eden was representative of heaven. Now, it talks about east. Going out of Eden through east. That's why when you look at later, the tabernacle and the temple, entrance is always at the east. So if your direction is going to west, then you're coming towards God. If your direction is going to the east, then you are going away from God. And that is the point here. Cain went out from the presence of God and settled in the east of Eden. Then, verse 17, Cain had relations with his wife, and he conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And this is not the Enoch that went up to the Lord without dying. That's a different Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. Now from verse 18 you read about the descendants of Cain. And I'm not going to read everything there, but from verse 20 then, here are the activities of the descendants of Cain. Verse 20, Adah gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. And verse 21, his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. Verse 22, as for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal Cain, for forger of all implements of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. So you could see God described to us the activities of the descendants of Cain. They are developing technologies. And they're becoming a skillful man. You know, they have livestock and there are all kinds of skills they're developing, and they are into advancement of technology. But starting from verse 25, we read about the activities of the other group of people, Seth, descendants of Seth. Verse 25, Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, for she said, God has appointed me and another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Isn't it pretty interesting? God describes the two activities of two peoples. One, the descendants of Cain, they're developing technology, advancing skills. And the descendants of Seth, they call upon the name of God. In today's language, they worshiped God. So here's two groups of people building two different cities. One city of man, and the other city of God. And people who are building the city of God, they worship God. Do you understand what God is trying to say here? The descendants of Cain built the kingdom of the world, the city of man. But God accomplishes the kingdom of God through the descendants of Seth, and that continues on even today. Even today, two groups of people are building two different cities. God's people are building heavenly kingdom. And people of this world, they're building the city of man. Both kingdoms are being built, but at the end, we see only one kingdom remains, and that kingdom is the kingdom of God. All the city of man, it will be completely destroyed when Jesus returns. Nothing in this world will remain. Completely gone. The kingdom of this world has its own purpose. It is to rebel against God and also to glorify themselves. That reality has been shown clearly in the event of the Tower of Babel. You know the story. They build this tower reaching to heavens. And in Genesis 11 verse 4 it says, they said, these people who are building this tower, come, let us build for ourselves a city. A tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Look at what these people who are building the city of man, look at what they're saying. Let's build this city of man, so that the tower whose top will reach into heaven. This is the mind of Satan. Isaiah 14 verse 13 and 14. Satan's mind is described there. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of heaven. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I will make myself as God. These people, they said, as they build this tower, they say, let us make for ourselves a name. It's not the name of God they're worshiping or they're praising, but it's their own name. That's how the world is. They always worry about, is my name going to be remembered generation after generation? Because you have invented great things in this world so that your name will continue generation after generation. That's the world. And they're so proud of their earthly accomplishments. And they're so long for their name to continue to be remembered. It is their honor for their names to be remain in the textbooks so the next generation will know you. But Christians, call upon on the name of the Lord. Man, in the perspective of the world, man, Christians are stupid. Here, the city of man is advancing technology, developing skills. But the people who belong to the city of God just worship him. But understand, look at the end. In our passage, see the end. Which kingdom, which city will remain forever? City of man will be completely destroyed. All of their earthly accomplishments, earthly inventions, all will be remembered no more. We will see at the end who is stupid, who is foolish. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God is telling you how it is going to be. And that Satan's attitude is shown throughout the history of this world. Through Egyptian kingdom, through Babylonian kingdom, and later Roman kingdom, and many, many kingdoms after that. That is why the book of Revelation uses kingdom like Babylon and Egypt to symbolize the sinful world. All the kingdoms of the world who rebel against God and persecute the people of God are now be completely destroyed by the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, only his kingdom remains. Do you remember Daniel 2? We saw this briefly last week. But let us go there. Daniel 2, chapter 2. Daniel 2, chapter 2. Yeah, Daniel 2 means chapter 2. Why am I saying? Daniel 2, verse 31. Nebuchadnezzar, he has a dream. And Daniel is interpreting that dream. Verse 31, you, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue. That statue, which was large and extraordinary splendor, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of that stone was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs bronze, its legs and iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. So we already understand what that is, right? Those are symbols of great kingdoms of this nation, this world. Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Greek kingdom, and Roman kingdom. Verse 34, what happens now? You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hand. The stone that was cut without hand is now human result. And it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Do you see that in our passage in Revelation 11 that Daniel's vision is completely accomplished? All the nations are crushed by the kingdom of God. And at the end, only the kingdom of God remains. Even in the Old Testament, this was foretold. And we see finally in Revelation 11 that this is accomplished. In our passage, all of this is being visibly fulfilled. The kingdom of the world is no longer seen, but the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the heaven, lasts forever and ever. This also reminds us of Psalm 2. Let us go there too. Psalm 2. Because in our passage we see the complete fulfillment of Psalm 2. The second psalm. Let me read to you. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, against His Messiah, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. These nations, they are in uproar. They're angry at God. And they're against God and against the Messiah. They say, let us get out. Let us escape from the prison of God. Because God binds us. Let us break that bind and get out. Be free from God. And that's exactly what the world does. You know, especially so many professors at your universities, they are all about this. They want to kill God. So with their worldly knowledge, they laugh at the Bible. With their scientific foundings, they scoff at the Bible. They laugh at your faith. Because they are so intelligent, so wise, they tell you, how can you believe the Bible? Be free from bondage of God. Yeah, they don't say in so many words, but that's what they're saying at the end. Yeah, whole world is against God, but verse 4, Psalm 2, verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. Wonderful picture of our God. You know, whole world is against him, and God just laughing at sitting at his throne. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Yes, in anger, God says, I have installed my king, Jesus Christ, his son. Meaning that I have established my kingdom through that king. You guys are against this kingdom, but I have already established my king, and that kingdom furthers, no matter how much this world tried to prevent it. Verse 7, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. This is referring to resurrection. Acts tells us, as for me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very end of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. God the Father says to this king, the very ends of the earth will be yours, will be your possession. And you will break them with a rod of iron. You will shatter them. And that is exactly what we see in our passage. At Jesus' second coming, Psalm 2 will be completely accomplished, consummated. The nations are in an uproar. And that is what we see in Revelation 11 verse 18. There too says, and the nations were enraged. What do we see? They do not like the kingdom of God. They hate it. Why do they not like the kingdom of God? Because in the kingdom of God, Jesus is the king. They want the kingdom in which they themselves can be kings. They rather literally die in hell than obey Jesus Christ as their king. That's how much they hate Jesus Christ. They reject the kingdom in which Jesus and him alone is the king. But Psalm 2 verse 12 says, do homage to the Son, or kiss the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. Verse 18, and the nations were enraged and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Do you see it? Do you see what will happen at the end? All who do not repent, all who hate the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all who reject the kingdom of God, they are all destroyed. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. The death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The rage of the kingdom of the world is no match for the wrath of God. But to his people, our passage says, for his people in Jesus Christ, God rewards them. Rewards them with another world. Not this world. Another world. Heavenly one. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only for me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That is a very interesting phrase there. God will bless those who loved his appearing, his second coming. Yes, you and I were going to be awarded. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thus, verse 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your hope on that day when Jesus returns. Verse 19. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and of an earthquake and great hailstorm. We do not have time to look at this verse fully today. We'll do that. We'll finish this verse next week. But at the end, we see the temple of God opened and the ark of his covenant appeared. What are we looking at? The ark of covenant. It was located in the Holy of Holies. And it symbolized the throne of God. We'll look at that in more detail next week. It was in the Holy of Holies. And it was symbolized the kingdom, the throne of God. And this is where God met his people. The room, The Holy of Holies in which the Ark of Covenant was located was closed with a curtain. And in the Old Testament, only the high priest, only once a year, could enter the Holy of Holies to meet God there. But what are we looking at the end? But when the eternal salvation is consummated, we see the Ark of Covenant. The Holy of Holies is now completely open. And if we are standing and if we are seeing the Ark of Covenant, then where are we standing? We are standing in front of God, in front of God's throne. We are standing in the Holy of Holies. We have entered the true Holy of Holies, and we are standing in the front of God's throne. And we'll look at this more in detail, but understand what has happened and what will happen at the end. You know how hard it was for you to draw near to God as a sinner? It was so hard, it was impossible. Because if a sinner comes near to God, you die. And that reality was shown in how Israelites approach the Holy of Holies. They cannot approach it. Only one person, representative. And only once a year. And only with the blood of animals, he was able to enter the Holy of Holies and see the Ark of the Covenant. And there, God meets with his people. But look at what happens at the end. Look at what Jesus Christ has accomplished. All of us are now standing, and all of us are looking at the Ark of Covenant. You know, Israelites, when the one, you know, high priest went into Holy of Holies, all the Israelites, they had to stand outside and wait until the high priest come out. But here, at the end, all of God's people see the Ark of Covenant, which means all of us have entered the Holy of Holies. Yes, you and I, we are the royal priesthood. And you have come to that place even now as we worship our God. Spiritually, you have come to that place. It's not visible, but with the eyes of your faith, do you see the Ark of Covenant? Do you see it? It is our present spiritual reality. Spiritually, we have come to God's throne. We have come to him. And just like the 24 elders who represent the church, we too fall on our faces and worshiping our God. Do you see what we see in our passage is our reality right now? That is exactly what we're doing. We have come to God. And we worship God. Spiritually, brothers and sisters, man, if you do not see this, then your Christian life will be dry and boring. But if you really understand where you have come, and what is your spiritual reality right now as we worship God? You cannot you cannot be excited. Spiritually, this is your heavenly reality. God's salvation for his people has already been accomplished in Jesus Christ, and when he returns, all will be visible. All will be visibly consummated. Let us continue to look at this verse 19 next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, amazing grace indeed. Sinners like us, we are now able to stand before you, enter the Holy of Holies, the true heavenly Holy of Holies, come near to you and worship you. O Father, we are so happy, so satisfied when we see how your plans of redemption and judgment are accomplished by your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, every time we gather for worship on the Lord's Day, let us remember by your grace, where we have come, and what is our heavenly reality that is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. We long for that day when all this will be visible to us, when Jesus is visible to us. Oh Father, come quickly, Lord. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.